Take your Bibles while you're standing, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we will begin at verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Father, we would ask for the next several minutes that you would teach us what you want us to know out of this section. These words, Lord, apply them to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Okay. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are really glad that you are here. As I mentioned, we have many, many people gone this week. They're having a great time. But we're really glad that you're here, that you've chosen to join us. What we do is Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, we're teaching an overview of the New Testament at this point, going verse by verse. And tonight we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. We'll cover 6 tonight, 7 Wednesday night. And we just go verse by verse. And then on Sunday mornings, we teach a topical study out of the sections that we are teaching verse by verse on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I was reading a book not long ago by Velma Sewell Daniels entitled Celebrate Joy. And let me read a couple of things from it. She said, never ask an Eskimo how old he is, the man said. If you do, he will say, I don't know and I don't care. She's describing her interview with a man who lived in Alaska. And she goes on and she says, one of them told me that, and I pressed him a bit further. When I asked him the second time how old he was, he said, almost, that's all. That still wasn't good enough for me, so I asked him, almost what? And he said, almost one day. Mr. Daniels asked the Alaskan if he knew what the Eskimo meant. He answered that he did, but only after talking to another man who had lived in the Arctic Circle for about 20 years did she get the answer. Back in her book, she says, and I quote, he was a newspaper man who had written a book about the Eskimos and their customs and beliefs. He said the Eskimos believe that when they go to sleep, at night they die, that they are dead to the world. Then when they wake up in the morning, they have been resurrected and are living a new life. Therefore, no Eskimo is more than one day old. So that is what the Eskimo meant when he said he was almost a day old. The day wasn't over yet. Life above the Arctic Circle, she goes on to say, is harsh and cruel, and mere survival becomes a major accomplishment. But you never see an Eskimo who seems worried or anxious. They have learned to face one day at a time. Unquote. Perhaps some of us would be better in dealing with life if we had that Eskimo's one day at a time attitude. What we're talking about this morning is our tendency to worry and fret over things that haven't happened yet and may never happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We worry about stuff that hasn't happened, and it probably never will. It's a fact of life that we all worry. We know that we shouldn't. We know it's wrong, but we do it anyway. Everyone has heard about the effects of worry. It can cause ulcers. It can add to high blood pressure, heart problems. It drains our energy. It affects our social life. We know these things, but we worry anyway. We just are so good at it, we just want to keep it going, you know? For some of us, worry is such an automatic part of life that my discussing it here could send us home worrying that we worry too much. so I don't know what to accomplish this morning, all right? Many people think that worry is part of a fast-paced life. The high-pressure lives we lead today, but the truth is, worry has been around for a long, long time. Psalm 37:8 advises us, do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry makes a heart heavy. In the New Testament, we just read it. Jesus said that some things about worry, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, what we just read in Matthew chapter 6. According to Jesus, in this section, Matthew 6:25-34, there are at least four steps necessary, each of them mentioned in this passage, to eliminate worry. And I want to point this out in case we have any worriers this morning, or if you know anybody that worries, that you could share this with them, because maybe we have no worriers. I don't know. Number one, we must decide not to worry. Now, I know that sounds overly simplified, and it may cause some of you to discount the things I'm about to say. Nevertheless, in this passage, Jesus commands no less than three times, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. When he translates this, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And the presence of these commands is a clear indicator that worry is really a matter of choice. If it was not a matter of choice, Jesus would not say, do not worry. So he's telling us, giving us a command. God doesn't call us to do things that are impossible. And we can assume, if he gives us a command, he does that three times in this section, we can assume if he gives us a command, he wants us to take it seriously. Now, our tendencies towards worry are really controlled by conscious choices that we make. There is hope in that. If worry results from our own choices, then we have control and can do something about it. And so that to me is very encouraging. Now you may need a bit of coaxing in order to see the need to obey God's command, so let me give you some incentive, okay? Let me give you a couple of incentives here. Number one, most of our worry is over things that are relatively trivial. They're really not important. According to the National Bureau of Standards, a dense fog covering seven city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than one glass of water. Did you understand that? All the fog covering city blocks, seven city blocks, 100 feet deep could be, if it were condensed, held in a single drinking glass. Quite often, guys, the things we get worked up about are far larger in their appearance to us than they are in their substance. Verse 20 says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? There is so much more to life than clothes and food and health and money, yet some of us never get very far beyond those simple things. To our detriment, what we do is we ignore things that are far more significant, things with eternal consequences. Three men died and were waiting to receive entrance through the pearly gates. The first man said to Peter, I was a preacher of the gospel, and I shared the gospel as a pastor in the same church for over 50 years. Peter looked at him and said, would you please step aside for further consideration? The second man said, I too was a pastor, and I preached the gospel faithfully for over 40 years. Peter looked at him and said, step aside for further consideration. The third man stepped up. He said, I wasn't a pastor. I didn't do anything like that. I was just a government worker. In fact, I worked for the Internal Revenue Service for 6 months. Peter told him to step right in. The first pastor said, why does he get to go before two pastors? Peter looked at him and says, the truth is, in 6 months, he scared the devil out of more people than either of you did in a lifetime. You know, that's the way we are, man. We tend to worry about things that have no eternal significance, The tax man frightens us more than the Word of God. All right? Most of our worries are over things that are relatively trivial in the greater scheme of things. Secondly, worry is really a waste of time. Verse 27 says, which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his lifespan? The New International Version reads, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? The point Jesus is making is that the brow furrowing, the hand wringing, the gut wrenching brought on by worry adds absolutely nothing to our security. Worry is kind of like cultivating and watering ground where you haven't planted any seed. And what you've done is you've wasted water, you've wasted time, you've wasted energy, and still you have nothing. It is much easier to make the decision not to worry when we remember that our worry is a waste. He says it's a waste. It will accomplish absolutely nothing. Thirdly, worry is beneath our dignity. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? D.H. Lawrence said, I never saw a wild thing sorry for itself. A small bird will drop frozen dead from a branch without ever having felt sorry for itself. It will finish its life without having worried. Have you ever seen a bird at the off-ramp begging for food with a sign that says, we'll chirp for food? Have you ever seen that? Doesn't happen, man. We are God's creation. We are made in God's image. We are worth more than the birds that God cares for. And he feeds them. He takes care of them. And he has much greater plans for us than he does for the birds. It is beneath our dignity to spend our lives worrying. His plan is that we should live life abundantly, not allowing our time to be eaten up with worry. Also, ladies and gentlemen, it is easier to obey Jesus' command not to worry when we realize, fourthly, worry is a faithless act. In verse 30, Jesus says that worry is the result of a lack of faith. Will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? By worrying, we are saying in effect, this is what we're saying, this situation, God has no control over. God is helpless, or God doesn't care, or I'm on my own. I need to fix this. I need to make it right. I need to do, and on and on and on. What we're saying is, God can't handle this when we start worrying. Worry is our statement of disbelief in God's promises to take care of us, period. Did you hear me? God promises to take care of us. Jesus said, do not worry. And the first step to eliminating worry is deciding not to worry. It's much, much easier to take that step when we see worry for what it is. It is a trivial, time-wasting, dehumanizing, faithless habit. Can I say that again? Those are the points I gave you. Worry is a trivial, time-wasting, dehumanizing, faithless habit that we get ourselves caught up into. The second step Jesus shows us to eliminating worry is we must trust God to take care of us. Verse 31 and 32 say, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Larnell Harris, I don't know if many of you recognize that name. He was a singer that was very popular a few years ago, and he's still around, but had a great, great voice. He sang a song entitled, In It After All. And the words of that song were so incredibly instructive, I want to give them to you. And I'm going to do that by singing them to you. So if you'll start the... No, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm just going to read them to you. Some of you started to walk out. I just want to read them to you. Listen to these words. They were very instructive. So you were in it after all. All of those moments I spent crying when something inside of me was dying. I didn't know that you heard me each time I called. You had a reason for those trials. It seems I grew stronger every mile. Now I know you were in it after all. We're always ready, Lord, to take the glory, but we're seldom willing to endure the pain. You were with me when the sun was shining, and you were still beside me when it rained. So you were in it after all, taking the blows that I'd been given, mending the wounds that needed mending. I didn't know that you heard me each time I called. I guess it's easy now to see it. I don't know how I could have missed it, Jesus, but I know you were in it after all. Isn't that great? He was there all the time. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, Jesus says. He knows. He's in it after all. Our job is to trust what He has promised. Did you hear me? That's our role. That's our responsibility. What we do is to trust what He has promised. Furthermore, He wants us to unload our anxiety on Him. A businessman ran into a friend of his, a stockbroker who had always had problems with ulcers and high blood pressure and all kinds of anxiety. And he ran into him and he said, how's your health? Great. My ulcers are gone. My blood pressure's down to normal. I don't have a worry in the world. How in the world that happened? It's easy. What I did is I hired a professional worrier. And when something comes along that I need to worry about, I tell him about it, and he does all my worrying for me. Well, the businessman couldn't believe it. That's incredible. I'd be interested in something like that. How much does it cost? Stockbroker says he charges $100,000 a year. Businessman said, how in the world can you afford to pay $100,000 a year? The stockbroker said, I don't know. Let him worry about that. In the same way, the stockbroker gave his worries to the professional worrier, God wants us to give our worries to Him because He cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I think I've explained this before, but in the original language, there are two words for cares in that verse. Cast all your cares. That's talking about your worries, your anxieties, your problems. Cast all your cares on Him, for He, and it's not a matter He just cares for you. That word, that second word, cares, has to do with plans. Cast all your cares, worries, anxieties, hang-ups, cast all of those on Him, for He has a plan for each one of those things. He already knows what He's going to do. He's not taken by surprise. That thing that you are so in anxiety over, that thing you're so messed up about, He is not surprised. He knows it's going on. He knew before it ever started. And if you just choose, Jesus, I trust you. I surrender it to you. He will take care of it because He promised. Paul put it this way in Philippians, same concept. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Depending on God to take care of us means that we have to eliminate fearful and faithful phrases. We ought to stop saying stuff like, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know what's going on. We just give it to Jesus. You can make it. You will get by if you trust God to take care of you. He'll take care of you. And the third step in eliminating worry taking from this passage in Matthew 6 is simply this. We must give Jesus Christ first place in our lives. First place. Verse 33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. A young boy was driving a big hay rack down the road, turned over right in front of a farmer's house. The farmer came out and saw the young boy crying and said, son, it's no big deal. Don't worry about this. I'll help you fix it. Got some workers here. We can all come out and we get the hay back on. It's not a problem. But right now, you know, dinner's ready. Why don't you come in and eat with us? And I'll help you, and we'll help you put the hay back on the rack. The boy said, no, I can't. My father's going to be really angry with me. Farmer said, "Now don't argue. Just come in, have some lunch, and you'll feel better. We'll help you do it." The boy said, "I'm afraid my father's going to be very angry with me." The farmer and the boy finally went inside. He convinced him to go and eat lunch. They had this great lunch. Afterwards, they walked outside to the hay rack. The farmer said, "Well, don't you really feel better eating first?" The boy said, "Yes, but I just know my father's going to be very angry with me." The farmer said, "Nonsense. Where is your father anyway?" "He's under the pile of hay." The key to eliminating worry is taking God from under the pile of hay where we sometimes keep him and putting him back in first place. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness is the way Jesus puts it here. Giving Jesus Christ first place in your life means, first of all, that you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never done that. Today would be a good way to do it. I want to tell you, you'll never have a peaceful mind free from worry until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Even if you've been a Christian for many, many years, you still need to give him complete lordship of your life on a daily basis. The reason many Christians struggle with worry, fear, and anxiety is because they have let their relationship with God become somehow a secondary priority in their lives. But you know what? Jesus wants first priority. Jesus will not allow second priority or third priority in our lives. And you know, he wants first priority and he has every right to it. Eliminating worry begins with deciding not to worry, then trusting God to take care of you and giving Jesus Christ top priority in your life. The fourth step in eliminating worry is we must learn to live and work through our problems one day at a time. Verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I think it's important to note here that Jesus isn't recommending a sit back, do nothing, and let God take care of everything for your approach. To conclude that is a mistake. We are to deal with our troubles. Indeed, if we don't, we run the risk of falling into the biblical category of a sluggard. But God has put a time limit on us. Did you notice that? He said, we are to deal with today's troubles and let tomorrow's troubles take care of themselves. Paul Faulkner writes, listen to this great quote, listen. "We have a lot of pickup trucks in the part of West Texas where I live. Those pickups have an extra heavy set of springs called overload springs, and they work. A good old pickup can carry quite a load of stuff, but if you took every load that pickup would ever carry and put it on the pickup all at once, it would collapse. It can carry loads fine, one load at a time." Jesus puts it this way, he goes on, "Let today's troubles be enough for today." And that's the way we're made to carry one day's trouble at a time. What he's saying here, he's saying that we should handle the demand of each day as it comes without worrying about the unknown future and things which may never happen. Conquering worry doesn't mean that we should just live irresponsible, foolish lives. Planning for the future is something that is also taught in the Bible. But it means that we should avoid that anxiety-ridden approach to life that destroys our peace and our joy. It means that we need to focus our attention on the present, on the things that we can do today and leaving tomorrow's problems for tomorrow. Many of you remember Major League pitcher who pitched for the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the best pitchers they ever had. Man by the name of Oral Hershiser. Remember him? I read some things he said one time. He wrote a book, and he one section in there on his ability to concentrate on his next pitch. And he said that he could not afford to worry about an earlier bad pitch. He said he could not have afforded to worry about the power hitter standing in the on-deck circle. His only hope for survival as a major league pitcher was to concentrate solely on the next pitch he was about to throw. In the same way, we need to give our full attention to each day as it comes to us. Concentrate on that. Don't be worrying about what you did and how you messed things up. Give it to Jesus. I messed things up. He says, I know that's what you do, but let's move on, man. Okay. Oh, God, I don't want to mess up tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll walk today through with you, man. I'll take care of today with you. We must devote all of our energy to living today in a way that brings glory to God. Did you hear me? And this takes a lot of effort. We can't approach each day thoughtlessly. We have to take a long, hard look at ourselves and ask, what am I accomplishing for the glory of God today? Did you hear me? That's our purpose for living. It's not, what did I accomplish for my plan for my life today? How did I put the next nail in the structure that I'm building to fulfill my goals for my life? That's not what we're supposed to be asking. What we should be asking is, what did I do today for the glory of God? What did I accomplish today that caused people to say, Jesus Christ is alive? When I look at the birds of the sky, when you take a trip maybe to Hawaii sometime and you see birds you don't see here in the desert. You only see birds here in the desert that are, they're not real colorful. I think the sun has just faded it all or something. But you go other places and you see these birds that are so intricately painted by God. The several colors and they're so gorgeous. And you go, well, look at what God did. Look how gorgeous that is. And then you look at the whole structure of what God's created. You look at his creation. And you look at things and you go, whoa, God is incredible. Oh, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You go to, sometimes when I go to the ocean, I can just stand there and I just watch the waves and I watch the surf. And it's just so gorgeous. It's beautiful. Go up in the mountains, I do the same thing. I love the desert. Did I say that with a question? And I just love what God has created. And it was all created for his glory. We also, Revelation says, and you created all things were created for and by you for your good pleasure. Chapter 4 of Revelation, what does that mean? For his glory. So I need to look at my life and say, how am I living in such a way that I'm living for his glory, that people watch me and say, whoa, God must be alive. Jesus must be real. Look at that. They're not under. He's not complaining all the time. He's not anxious about everything. He's not worrying about everything. Things are falling apart, but there's still a peace. There's still a joy. There's still an excitement there about his relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about for all of our lives. We're not living to the praise of our glory. We're not living where people say, whoa, isn't he something? We need to live to the praise of his glory. I've told you this so many times, man, and I mean this. I love all you guys dearly, and I love pastoring here, and I appreciate you being here, and it's wonderful. And, you know, I've been here for so long, and some of you say it's long enough, but I'm still here. But you know what? I am not here to please you. I am not here so you think I'm a good pastor. My only purpose here is to somehow bring the glory of Jesus to you. If you leave here today talking about, whoa, that was a pretty cool study, I've missed it. But if you leave here talking about Jesus Christ is the answer to your life and that I don't have to worry anymore, I can live to the praise of God's glory and he's going to take care of me, I've accomplished my purpose here. And that's to live to the praise of his glory, that we're glorying Jesus Christ because of our lives. And that takes some effort on our part. The principle that Jesus is teaching in Matthew 6 is simple. Here it is. Action eliminates worry. Do you want to eliminate worry? Then take action. What's the action? Decide not to worry. Trust God to take care of you. Give Jesus top priority in your life. Live each day as it comes to you, one day at a time. You do those four things and you will eliminate the worry in your life. You can choose to do that. This kind of action eliminates worry. A widow who had successfully raised a large family was being interviewed by a reporter. In addition to six children of her own, she had adopted 12 others. And through it all, she had maintained stability and an air of confidence. When asked the secret of her outstanding accomplishment, her answer to the newsman was quite surprising. She said, "I managed so well because I'm in a partnership." "What do you mean?" he inquired. The woman replied, "Many years ago I said, 'Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying.' And I have not had an anxious day since." Guys, we could all profit by following the example of that mother. "I'll work. I'll do what you've called me to do. You worry, Jesus. We'll do fine." I encourage you today to consider it. Take the words of Jesus in this passage we're looking at very seriously. And eliminate worry from your life. Give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. There's a phrase that we use in church. I've heard it all. You know, leave it at the altar. Just leave it at the altar. Bring it to Jesus. Watch this. Let's stand, shall we? Father, as we stand before you, we make some decisions today. At least we choose to do that. Lord, you've revealed to us in your word that it's a choice not to worry. You've empowered us to be able to do that. And just as we've been instructed, we want to leave it at the altar today, Lord. We want to leave it at your feet. We want to leave it with you, Lord. Every worry, every anxiety. We want to cast all our anxieties on you because you care for us. And we choose to do that today. We surrender it to you, Lord. Lord, I know there's some heavy stuff here. I know there's some folks here, Lord, that are really concerned about some very, very, very troublesome things. Oh, God, would you help us now to place them all in your hands? We can be concerned, Lord. We can have care, but not be filled with anxiety and worry. As your people, Lord, we have your promise that you would never leave us, you would never forsake us. We have your word that you will work all things together for good to those that are yours and called according to your purpose, Lord. So we trust that. So we surrender today, Lord. We want to leave, be able to leave here with a fresh, fresh, fresh. Oh. Commitment. For you to empower us. Not to worry about tomorrow. But we can only do that through you, Jesus. And we trust you to do that. It's in your name we pray, Savior. You're awesome and we love you. Hey, as we close with this song, man, surrender that. You've prayed it now, surrender that commitment to him. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus and you don't know Jesus, just right where you're standing, just, "Jesus, I surrender. Come into my life. I'm worried about my future. I'm worried about my eternity. Jesus, I surrender it to you." You want somebody to talk to over in the prayer room on my right in the back. There'll be some folks there that would love to talk to you. Get you started in your walk with Jesus. If you have a prayer for any reason, there'll be some folks in there to pray with you. But the rest of us, man, make that commitment today to live for the praise of his glory so people can know who he is because we can really trust him. And some of us have been living like he doesn't care or he doesn't have it in control. And he does, my friend. Trust him. Let's worship.